Good morning. As we prepare to worship God this morning, let us join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. It's a cold morning, but it is winter. Remember that. It's supposed to be cold. We especially want to welcome those of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a meaningful worship experience. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that way we'll be able to contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. I have here a set of keys, or a key, for a General Motors vehicle. I don't know what type of General Motors vehicle, but it was found in the parking lot between the new building and the fellowship hall. So if anyone is missing a key, I'll have it right over there. All of you know about the football game today, right? I'm not talking about that football game. I'm talking about the one at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Y. Football game between the adults and youth of our church, and you're all invited out to participate or to watch. That's at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Y. There's also a Super Bowl party tonight. Starts at 5 o'clock. The dinner will be at 5:30. There will be a pig picking, so everyone is invited. Just bring a dish to come along and share with others and enjoy fellowship together, and then watch the game as it begins somewhere between 6 and 8 o'clock, whenever the commercials allow for the football game to start. Also, there is one correction I need to make to the bulletin. A celebration circle, which meets Tuesday at 7 o'clock. The bulletin says that it will be in the church library conference room. They will actually be meeting at Debbie Kelly's house rather than here at the church. Also, our Wednesday gathering continues this week. The program this week will be Steve Skinner making a presentation on his Honduras medical mission trip. The meal begins at 5:15 and the program at 6:15. Please make reservations by calling the church office or by using one of the reservation cards that you'll find in the pew. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. O Christ, who commanded the apostles to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, let your name be great among the nations, from the rising up of the sun to its going down, now and forever. Be seated. Please join me in the invocation as printed in your bulletin. O Lord God, you withhold no good thing from those who seek to serve you. Today we want to hear your call to each of us. May we today know the richness of spiritual renewal. May we know the praise of joyful hearts. May we know the love of obedient lives. May we know the peace of Christ's presence. Above all, open our minds and spirits to receive the good you so much want to give us today and to answer your call in Christ. Amen.
As we approach our prayer time together, I have several additions to add to our prayer concerns. Mackenzie Leftridge, the 8-month-old great-granddaughter of Mike and Zella Williams, will have skull surgery in Columbia on February 16th. They ask our prayers. We add to the list Ray Woodward, who had a pacemaker put in this past Thursday. Hayden Eigelhart, who was briefly in the hospital this past weekend. Shorty Callison, who is now in the VA hospital in Augusta. We pray for Shorty. Louis Sherrod has been has had some ongoing concerns and needs to be in our prayers. Benny Moore will have surgery this next week. Dr. Bennett Kindert had surgery week before last in Spartanburg. Karen Dent, undergoing continued treatment. Joyce Bartless, also continued treatment and concerns. Diane Davis, yet determined what sort of treatment she'll have. That's Lorraine Stockman's sister. And also my daughter Allison, who I've announced for, I think, 3 Sundays in a row, she's just about to have a baby. I announce again today, she's just about to have a baby. I don't know. This baby is going to be well welcomed when she gets here. Let us go together to God in prayer. And today I have a special prayer from a collection of written prayers from a retired pastor in our congregation, Reverend Eugene Eady, a prayer that he has composed and a prayer that I am going to use today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, somewhere I know there's a God, and that somewhere is here. No one can take away from us the feeling of trust and assurance that we have. All is well, and God is nigh. All it takes is a touch of quietness, a helping of faith, a letting go. Skeptics have to hold on tight to their doubting, else it would slip from their grasp while watching a sunset. But faith comes in through even a crack in the heart's door. Given half a chance, it makes a whole new world. It is not that we can't find it. It is that so often we fight against it. We come here today that you might help us remove some of our barriers to faith. One barrier is our fear. We are afraid to let ourselves go upon thy love, not fearful that you might hurt us, but rather afraid of what we might have to give up or do. May we now look up and hear our Lord saying, I come to you that you might have a more abundant life. Another barrier to our faith is our sin. We know better than we do. We fly off the handle, we carry grudges, dissipate our bodies, think too much of self. Yet you are a patient and understanding Father. Father, forgive us, for we know what we do. Thy forgiving love removes the barricade of sin our wanderings have erected between ourselves and thee. Remove now from us the barrier of anxiety. Absorb our worries and confidence in thee. Grant us in this service rest for the soul, peace for the pounding heart, with gratitude for our blessings, melting our anxieties. O God, grant that each one here find full faith, find thee fully in their heart, find new joy in life, find a Savior for the journey, find a cross to carry for him, but finding, too, that their cup runneth over. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you, our concerns, our thanksgivings, our confessions, our intercessions for each other. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name, as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now we ask for Steve Skinner to come down with the children for our children's time.
Good morning. Y'all are all off in the corner. Come over here so you can see. I might need someone to help me hold some things. I've got some things in this bag, and I'm going to pull them out and tell me what you see in this bag, these things that I have. Then I'll tell you what I see when I see them. Let's see. What do you see? A sheep or a lamb? Hold that for me just a second. Winnie the Pooh. Wanna hold that one for me? You don't? Okay. How about this one? Maybe you can hold this one. Spider-Man. Spider-Man okay to hold? Yeah, I figured you'd hold that one. And one last one. I won't pull them all out. It's a fruit basket, yeah. You know what I see when I see these things? I see the miracle of God's love. Now, how do I see the miracle of God's love in Spider-Man and Winnie the Pooh and sheep and lambs? Well, let me tell you where I got them, and maybe you'll see. I got these in Honduras when I was there a little over a week ago. And Honduras is a small little country south of Mexico, okay? And these were painted by some of the children at one of the residential homes I went to see. And there are about 45 children that live in this residential home now. And these children are children that before they lived in this home, and they all live in one house. Okay, imagine that, 45 children in one house with lots of adults that are caring for them and taking care of them. But before they lived in this home, these children lived in some of the poorest neighborhoods in Honduras. And their families either weren't able to take care of them or didn't know how to take care of them. Many of them didn't have food to eat and water to drink. And some of them were actually literally close to death when they came to the home because they were starving. And many of them were sad and lonely. Many of them were hurt just didn't feel loved. So you might think when you go to visit the home, it's kind of a sad place to go. But you know what I found when I went to see these children at the house? They were just like all of you, and most of them were about the same age as you. They liked to smile and laugh. They liked to run and play games. They liked to eat. They liked to eat cookies. They liked to eat candy. They liked to sing and dance. They'd go to church, say their prayers. But the thing I noticed the most about them is they like to get hugs and they like to give hugs. If you sat down for 2 seconds, two of them were in your lap getting a hug or being hugged. Why do you think these children were like that? I think it's because of God's love. God reached out to them where they were in their hunger and their pain and their sorrow and their loneliness and showed them that God loved them. And they did this through other people. There were other people that received God's love, and that love burned so deep in their heart that they wanted to share that love with others, including the children that were hurting. And I think that's the whole message of Jesus coming to earth to show us God's love for us. And then he commanded us to love God with all your heart. And then when you do that, your heart is filled with so much love you want to share it with others, whether that's people in Honduras or here in Greenwood. So that's the message for today. Can y'all join me in a prayer? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love you with all of our heart. And help us to share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
As the choir is coming down front to be near the piano, I'd like to share with you the verse upon which the anthem is based. It's from Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
And now let us pass the peace.
I heard you.
I thought we would get a clapping. You forgot Candace Peppers.
Forgot to not announce her?
Yeah, forgot that she's...
Thought she wanted to be left out.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I just thought you might want to say she...
Well, I thought if I announced that she wanted to be left out, that would be something.
Well, it was a joke, I mean. It.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. She gets saved.
Okay.
We will continue our worship now through our offering, but before our offering, I want to explain just a moment what this, you may not have seen this before, the Golden Cross Ministry. This is Golden Cross Sunday, and we have never really emphasized it very much in the past, but I want you to know that if we are a participating church, that any family in this congregation with health care bills that are larger than they can afford beyond their insurance, we can apply for and get grants, medical assistance. And I have done this before, and they do make those grants. And also, we have a nursing student, at least one I know of and have spoken with today, who qualifies for this health care scholarship. And all you need to do is apply for it, show need, which is easy to do, and they grant it. But we need to be a participating congregation in some way. So I hope you will consider participating in the Golden Cross offering, as well as your regular offerings and tithes and pledges. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough means to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these offerings, these returns unto your kingdom. Bless them to build your kingdom and to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Our gospel lesson is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the first 11 verses. Hear now God's word. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but we've caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this gives me an opportunity every time it comes up as a preaching text to tell a couple of fishing stories, short fishing stories. Two guys went on a fishing trip, and they had to rent everything. Their reels, their rods, their wading suits, their rowboat, their car, and even the cabin in the woods. They spent a fortune. And the first day they went out fishing and they didn't catch a thing. The second day they went out fishing, they didn't catch a thing. The third day they went, nothing. And finally, on the last day of the vacation, one of the guys, one of the two men, finally caught a fish. And on the drive home, they were just depressed and silent, and one of them was pecking away at a calculator, and he figured up what it cost. He says, "Do you realize that this one lousy fish cost us $1,500? The other guy said, "Whoa, it's a good thing we didn't catch any more." I think that originally was a Clemson joke, but I wouldn't tell it that way. No, I wouldn't tell it that way. Now, one more fishing story. It's also a preacher story. The Reverend Dr. McStuffed Shirt. He encountered one of his less than faithful parishioners returning from a day's fishing on a Sunday and not in church. And he engaged him in conversation. He said, "Brother Jones, you are a fine fisherman, I know, but I am a fisher of men." And Jones was determined to get home after a long day. He said, "So I have heard. But I was passing your church on Sunday, last Sunday. I looked in the window and I noticed you've got a lot more room in your bucket." And so do we. It's too true. Our gospel reading is where we get that old catchphrase, "fishers of men," as it says in the King James, or in the New RSV, "fishers of people," of men and women. And it's also a pretty good fishing story. Peter was impressed with Jesus, who had just healed his mother-in-law. And Peter let Jesus use his boat to back away from the shore so that Jesus could use the water's surface as sort of a natural amplification as he preached to the crowd of people. Now, while Jesus taught, bone-tired, Peter was washing his nets and calling it a day. And I guess he was listening to Jesus preach and teach over his shoulder. He and his partners had been out fishing all night long, and they caught nothing. So I'm sure he was glad to give the boat to Jesus to use. It hadn't done him any good to use to preach from. And when the preaching was over, Simon Peter and his friends were ready to get home for some shut-eye and had nothing to look forward to except another day's fishing and hopefully a good catch. Well, Peter's eyes were half open, and his feet were pointed towards home. And Jesus said, "Wait up. Put your nets out into the deep for another catch. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, the Greek here is sort of funny. The word for deep is a word that means the depths of danger and mystery. Trust me and throw your very livelihood into the depths of danger and mystery and see what happens. I am sure after trying all night and catching nothing, Peter said, "What? You know, this is not the time to go fishing in the day, and the fish are not biting anyway. And Rabbi," he thought this, "you may be special in a lot of things, but you're a carpenter, not a fisherman. I just want to go home." But something about Jesus overcame his reluctance, and he said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but if you say so, we'll let down our nets." He was obedient, but not enthusiastic. He called his partners, James and John, and together they sailed their two boats out from the shore into the deep. And here's the fish story. The catch was humongous, or a new word that I have learned, ginormous. I don't think that's in the dictionary yet, but you know what it means. It was too big for one boat. It was even too big for two boats. They all filled with flopping, slippery fish. The boats were in danger of going under, and Simon had never seen anything like it. He said, "Whoa, what is going on here? Who is this Rabbi Jesus?" As the gospel account tells it, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You see, Peter knew at once that he was in the presence of the holy. And he, in the presence of the holy, just as when we perceive that we are in the presence of the holy, we also perceive who we are in relationship to the holy. And he felt and he confessed his sin. You know, a few years ago, I asked as the chair of the nominations committee, or now we call it the lay leadership committee, I asked a member to take a leadership position in the church, and he told his wife, and he told me, he said, "I don't feel worthy for that position." And his wife asked him, said, "Well, when will you be worthy? When will you be worthy? Serve anyway." Jesus, when Peter said, "I'm a sinful man, get away," I imagine only smiled. What he said was, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people, sinner or not." And the conclusion is simple. So they pulled their boats up on shore, they left everything, and they followed him. The biggest miracle here is not the incredible catch of fish. It is them dropping their business, their home, their livelihood, their way of life, and following Jesus. Jesus caught them, and then he sent them to catch others for God, to catch people. And down through 2 millennia of Christian history, that is how every generation of followers of Jesus until ours has seen themselves and understood their calling, our calling, to catch people. The word for that is evangelism, and it is a word that makes good middle-class Methodists squirm and fan themselves. Paul Harvey has noted that too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. That's an ouch. Our strength comes from worship and prayer, but our job is out there and starts the minute we leave here. A rural congregation once stood at the intersection of 5 country roads, and when the new pastor stuck little red pins where all his members were, he noticed that the majority of his members were on the north side and on the south side of that intersection, but he had almost nobody on the east and the west. And he wondered why they were clustered that way, so he asked an older member, and she said, "Well, you see, Joe and Melva Quimley used to live up there on the north road, and then they bought a farm and they moved down on the south side. And the Quimleys were friendly, faithful, delightful people, and they were always inviting folks to church, and some of them came, and some of them stayed and joined us." Simple and effective. One family's witness had built a church wherever they lived. I know that you're tired of hearing about debt. Well, I'm tired of talking about it, too. And we all know what it'll take to make that talk go away. Okay, I'm going to move that to one side. But we have another debt. A debt to one who called us into the family of God. And just like Jesus called Peter and James and John, Jesus called us and calls us to call others. We have a debt to the one who gave us forgiveness, grace, love, and life eternal. A debt to continue his ministry of making new disciples. We dare not sit down and say, "I got mine. Thank you, God." 2 churches ago, I brought in 5 grown men by baptism and profession of faith over a period of 4 years. That's not an amazing thing, but for me, that was a personal pastoral best. And it took visiting in their homes. It took visiting in their places of business. And for one, it took visiting in a bar before the decision was finally made to profess faith, to be baptized for the very first time, to join a church. Now, I can't ride on that forever. We have made a goal for this year of 10 new members in 1 year by profession of faith. Pastor can't do that. We must all do that. We have a goal to reach out beyond this beautiful aquarium and do what Jesus told us to do, to be fishers of men and women for God, offering them forgiveness, grace, love, and life eternal. That's good bait. That's good news. What if each one of us reached out there and brought them in, then fed them when they got here, and then sent them out to reach more? That would be a good plan. And that seems to be Jesus' plan. Personal invitation. Some of you have already felt and have told me. You felt God's Spirit working on you to step up and do some new things, to be brave enough to speak up and to invite new people to worship here. And I know that that is happening, and I urge you to act on those urgings of God's Spirit. As far as sharing our faith with others, I have asked, and we have been satisfied, with too little. We're sort of on cruise control. I'm asking you today to refuse to cruise. I used to give a talk sometimes to football teams when they asked the pastor to do that. And I said, you know, from the basic high school physics, if you coast downhill, where you always end up at the bottom with no more energy. Beyond the debt to the bank, we have a debt to God in Christ to make disciples of every race and every nation on earth and from every neighborhood and every social strata in Greenwood. That is our calling. We have had success. We have grown. Now we can grow more. Not because I say, but because Jesus said, making disciples is why we exist. It is time to stop being keepers of the aquarium and start fishing out in the deep, in the depths of danger and mystery, and see what happens. Why would you do that? You would do that because God is real and because God has made a difference in your life, and that's your story. Let me tell you about it. But Lord, we've fished all night. We've tried it before. We've knocked on doors and we caught nothing. I know. I hear you. Cast out deeper. As I told the folks at 8:30, I have had people say a sort of a prayer. I remember one man, I knocked on his door, deeply inactive guy, and he opened and he said, "Oh God, it's the preacher." Bam. Slammed it in my face. I've had other moments where I've tried and caught nothing. Just keep on. Maybe not enthusiastically, but obediently, keep on. Take your nets and put out again, deeper. Trust and obey. God will provide a catch, a harvest, a return on His investment in you. That's the plan. That's God's plan. And you, we, are all a part of it. Amen. I ask you to turn to the order of communion on page number 12. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And join me at the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I do ask those who are going to assist me to please come forward. Serve you, and you just turn and serve the others. Body of Christ, broken for you. You serve. Ask the choir to come down to be served. And you can clap. You're going to do the bread? No, the juice. You do the bread. Is that okay? You might need a napkin. Yeah, just tear it small.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who comes to me shall not thirst. Arise and go in peace, and may the bread of heaven nourish your soul into everlasting life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will get in and out and find pasture. Arise and go in peace, and in his service may you find perfect freedom. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Arise and go in peace, and may the light of the world shine on your pathway and in your heart forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Arise and go in peace, and may you ever walk in the way of life and truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Arise and go in peace, and may the glory of your life be the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Arise and go in peace, and may your abundant life in Christ overflow in deeds of love and service. Amen. Jesus said, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Arise and go in peace, and may the true light shine into your mind with the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, so there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Arise and go in peace, and may the voice of the good shepherd be your comfort in sorrow and your guide in happiness. Amen. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Arise and go in peace, and by being spent in the service of Christ, may you find the source of rich and abundant life. Amen.
Is there anyone we need to come to serve?
Joyce. Joyce.
Okay, yes. I'll just take it. Okay, just one. Thank you.
Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Arise and go in peace, and may the Spirit of truth be your companion and guide forever. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I feel that I have been to worship today. And so let's sing boldly. Number 593. And to make sure that I can sing boldly, please turn my microphone off.
Thank you.
Now receive this blessing. The blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and the presence and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit here and present in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.